Our gospel reading this morning is from John's gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. Hear and receive the word of God to you today. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show me the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me also does the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be with you. I have said these things to you while I am with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And now, in the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come before us, Almighty God, and enter our hearts, enter our doubts, enter our distractions, and draw us back to you. Breathe into us your Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be with us and be mindful and full of integrity in your honor, Almighty God. Amen. In my mind, there are three major Sundays in the liturgical year. There is Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Christ. There's Easter, which celebrates the resurrection of Christ. And there's Pentecost, which celebrates the gift of Christ. This morning, we celebrate the third and least recognized on our annual calendars. The secular world has yet to find the marketing value of Pentecost. There are no flamethrowers on sale this weekend. There is no Pentecost. There may be a small section, but very few sections in the Hallmark aisle to get your free Pentecost card today. But this day and the liturgical year is deeply important in the story of the greater church and to the specific church. The day of Pentecost, from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, before Pentecost happened, Jesus said to the disciples, "You will receive power. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit will become upon you, and you will be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria." In first century Palestine, and in the 21st century world of chaos, you will receive power and you will be a witness. It's the story about how the church was born, how the match was lit, and it caught fire. And although there were many times when the fire was down to the embers and the breath of God, the Holy Spirit continued to provide the oxygen that the church would need to keep growing and working despite the odds. Now, I think for many of us, especially those of us who are Presbyterian, the Holy Spirit is perhaps the most difficult concept of the Trinity to comprehend. It seems rather easy, I guess, out of the three, to comprehend God the Creator of the universe, who shows up with his beautiful paintbrush and shows his artistry with every sunrise and sunset, with the beautiful sky at night and the magic of the stars, every ocean wave and the intricacy of every wildflower. And Jesus, the Redeemer of the world, while he shows up in humanity and the universal need for forgiveness and grace and suffering and redemption. But the Holy Spirit, I mean, what are we going to do with her? She's unpredictable. She's emotional, she's feminine, and she's revolutionary. The Greek word for the Holy Spirit and the one that Jesus uses today in today's scripture passage is Paracletos. It is translated as advocate. Holy Spirit means advocate. It is the literal meaning of one called alongside. It is a participle made up of two prepositions, para, which means beside or near, and kaleo, which means to call alongside. And in Hebrew, the word is ruach, which has many meanings, including wind and breath and spirit. If you have ever been an advocate for someone, or if you have ever needed an advocate, you know that advocates are not passive handholders, nor are they enablers. Rather, they are fierce truth tellers who tend to put others on their heels until they get what they want on behalf of someone else. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit not to one person, but to all the people, the entire community. With just one breath, God made us partners in a beloved community to complete the mission of Christ, extending God's redeeming love to all people, strangers and neighbors alike. This past month, I drove on many highways I had driven before, but I had not been there for a very long time. It's funny, when you go back to old towns or drive old highways, you suddenly know exactly where you are and how to get to, let's say, your favorite ice cream shop. How does your memory do that? I drove through the green prairies of the Midwest, where farmers were planting beans or corn or baling hay, and the vistas and wispy white clouds went on forever. Ohio is hillier than Indiana, and Indiana is hillier than Illinois, and Illinois, for certain, is the prairie state, and Iowa is heaven. This past month, I visited all three congregations where the Holy Spirit had called me to serve, and I spent significant chapters of my life in ministry. And I hadn't been back to those congregations for over 10 to 20 years. And the craziest thing has happened. The babies that I baptized are now teenagers. The teenagers that I confirmed are now parents. Parents I was in young adult groups with are now grandparents. And the grandparents are now moving to transitional living. Perhaps the churches had changed a bit, They had had a building campaign. They updated their bathrooms that they were quite proud of. They had established a new logo. Maybe they had changed their mission focus from focusing on Rwanda to world hunger. Maybe they had expanded their parking lot or grown their endowment. What had not changed was the unique smell of the wood and the stained glass windows and the old familiar feeling as I walked through their door. Each sanctuary had the same font where my children were baptized and the table that I had presided over and stood in front of and given ashes. What struck me most was that the same people who were volunteering in the kitchen when I left were still volunteering in the kitchen 18 years later. The same treasurer, Tack, the same treasurer who served as treasurer when I was serving 12 years ago informed me last week that she just rotated off another term of serving as treasurer. The same building and property committee members 15 years ago were the same building and property committee members. I was in awe of their commitment and love for their church and their love for each other, for their steadfast faithfulness, for their calling to serve the church with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. I was taken by their continued love for their children, for their faithful formation and education, for their commitment to hospitality and welcome. I was struck by their steadfast faithfulness to make sure that flowers were put in the pots outside of the building, that the budget was healthy, that the third graders had a teacher, and that the casseroles were warm. What had not changed, regardless of the size of the congregation or the number of people in worship or how they had survived COVID, was their commitment to each other and their community. The church thrives because the Holy Spirit anoints each of us to usher into the kingdom of heaven and to bear the good fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is indiscriminate, it is stubborn, and it will not let you go. The message of Pentecost is not about the sentimental days of the past. Pentecost is about change and new beginnings and new birth. The church is born on the day of Pentecost, and the world was never going to be the same. It didn't occur one time, but has occurred and will continue to occur over and over again. Philip Brooks was a great bishop and preacher who wrote a poem and hymn called "O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie." Well, if you look at one of the verses or you listen to one of the verses, you will hear the words, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. Cast out our selfishness. Cast out our self-centeredness. Cast out our egocentricity. Cast out our power politics. Cast out our greed. Cast out our indifference. Cast out our injustice, cast out our bigotry, cast out our prejudice, cast out our sin, and enter in, be born in us today." You see, Pentecost is an extension of Jesus' life on earth. It's an extension of that incarnation, because the Jesus who is born is the Jesus who said, "Blessed is the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit." And the Jesus that is born in us is the Jesus who said, "Blessed are those who persecute persecute you because they love somebody, because they tried to do right. The Jesus that is born in us is the Jesus who said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, praise for those who despitefully use you. The Lord Jesus who was born in us is the one who said, do unto others as you would have them do to you. The Jesus that is born in us is the one that says, you who do to the least of these, you are members of my family. You have done it to me. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, love yourself. When that Jesus is born in us and in our communities and in our world, there's going to be a revolution. Let me tell you a story of what happened on the first Pentecost. There were folks from all around the world. There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya, Cyrene, Romans and Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabians. And all of them suddenly became more of themselves and as individual collections of self-interest. All of a sudden, they weren't there for the tour. Suddenly, a new community got born. Suddenly, a new family was born. And the Acts of the Apostles said that they made poverty history. They made poverty history. Acts chapter 4 says there was not a needy person among them because they shared everything they had. And in their time, they set folks free. Paul and Silas, preaching in Philippi, saw this woman who was a slave, and they ministered in her life, and they set her free. Anytime they became more than an individual collection of self-interest, they became something resembling God's beloved community, that human family of God. Paul would write of these people who birthed by the presence of Jesus in their lives, and he said, all who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is no longer slave nor free, nor male nor female. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. They became more than they would ever have become on their own. They became God's beloved community. They became the human family of faith. But there's more than that. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation yearns and groans for the revealing of the children of God, that God's world might be God's world, that the entire world, all of us, all of God's children, that we might become God's human family, God's family of humanity, for all creation. Bishop Curry tells this story. I was probably 13, no wait, I was more like 16 or 17, and I was getting ready to go to college. And I was in the car with my daddy, and he said something to me, and he said something to us growing up. And he said, when you get to college, I want you to treat every girl the way you would want somebody else to treat your sister. I remember thinking, man, you've just ruined all my dreams I had for college. But I knew what he meant. He said, treat every girl the way you want somebody else to treat your own sister, because that girl is your sister. Treat every boy the way you would want somebody else to treat your brother, because he is your brother. Treat every woman like she's your mother, because she is. Treat every man like he's your father, because he is. Treat them like you want to treat your own family to be treated, because they are your own family. Show them the same love, honor, care, dignity, and respect that you would want for your own. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is not rocket science, but it is world-changing. On this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit, that powerful advocate, gives birth to Jesus in our lives on this day, in this place, in this time. This advocate is a truth teller. This advocate is a peacemaker. This Holy Spirit is breathing into our hearts and minds today in this place. what will our story be? We best ask the Holy Spirit, that unrelenting advocate, what she has in store. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it is the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. God love you, God bless you, and may God hold us all in the mighty hands of love. Amen.